For our scripture reading, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We begin our reading at verse 7 till the end of the chapter. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 7. And we begin at verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even to so to them, for that this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the great gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, children, young people, I think most of us have sometime probably seen that the painting of the broad and the narrow way. Perhaps some of you have even hanged it somewhere in your house. I remember that when I was young, that it was there in the church. It was there at the school. And to be honest with you, sometimes I just glanced over it. Just for a moment, but I actually didn't let it sink in. And tonight, as we are going to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are a bit similar to the painting, but this is the real thing, we can come and glance over it. But it's my prayer that by the Holy Spirit, it would be so tonight that we don't just glance at it, but that we meditate on it, and that it grips us tonight, and that it leads us into the right way. if we are not in the right way, and that it encourages us in the right way if we are in the right way. Because in this picture, the word picture, which we find in our text, Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, there, the Lord uses a very stark contrast. He shows that there are not just three ways, one for the godly, one for the wicked. Yes, of course, out there. Well, there is not a third way for those who are respectable, undecided, unchanged. Because there's a chasm between those two ways, and there's only two ways. And the Lord's grace and His Holy Spirit needs to change us and give us that true repentance so that we do not just look at the picture, but that this picture becomes a reason to pray, Lord, change me. Change me more deeply if we have been changed already. A beginning of it in our lives. So let us pray. Let us meditate together on the words of Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. It's a sobering picture. This is the picture. Enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. So our theme is simply this. With the Lord's help, we desire to bring to you only two ways. First of all, we look at the contrast. So the contrasting the ways. And then the characters. Some people who are going on the broad way. And then thirdly, we hear Jesus' words in the calling to the narrow way. So let's look at those contrasts for a moment. As we recently saw as well, there's a stark contrast in this text. Recently we considered the publican and the Pharisee. A stark contrast. That's how the Lord Jesus taught. And there are several contrasts here. The first one is after Jesus has issued this call, this urgent call to go in at the straight gate. That is not the curved gate, children. It's straight in the sense of narrow. It's a narrow gate. He gives us the reason because he says there is this broad gate as well, with a completely different destination, as we hope to see in a moment. So, the Lord Jesus says, I urge you to come to the narrow gate because there is a broad gate. Picture it in your minds for a moment. There's this gate. When we are not changed, we are all going through that gate. And we are impressed by the things that belong to this gate. The world, the devil, and the flesh. Unless you and I are on the narrow gate, nor have entered through that narrow, insignificant porch, this gate, the narrow gate. Look at the gate, children, for a moment. This is a broad gate. Let's say, on the one hand, you have on the right, or the left side, you have these billboards shouting, screaming at you, saying, come, enjoy your best time right here and right now. But this gate is so broad that if you look at the other side a little bit better, what do you see? There it seems like the gate is not as pompous. It's more plain. It's more moderate. And you see many respectable persons going into that gate. So in this gate, beloved, is room for both the wicked sinners, we would say, And there's room for the respectable sinners, religious people, who want something more than God alone. God in the world. And there's an invitation going from this road too. You read in Proverbs, come to this gate. Come to this road. And the problem is that it attracts you and me naturally. It's alluring to us. It feels natural to go there. And when you contrast it to the other gate, it's difficult to find that gate. It's a small gate. It's narrow. Above it is our text, as it were. Enter ye into that gate, the straight gate. It doesn't really look very attractive. It doesn't really look very attractive because the truth is we need to bow to enter. We need to confess our sins to enter. We need to humble ourselves to enter. It's more like some of those gates, those little gates you go through sometimes in an airport or at a supermarket, one person at a time. That is to say, not that others can't help you, not that others can't come alongside you and point, there's the gate. Do you see it? But it means that salvation for you and me is a very personal thing. It's something between God and your soul, and you can't trust on other people or your own good works. It's something that needs to be worked out with God and you. Those are the two gates, a wide gate and a narrow gate. And behind those two gates, there are two ways, the Lord Jesus tells us in our text. Two different ways. There is this broad way gate which leads into a broad road. Now picture that in your minds for a moment, a superhighway with 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 lanes. On the right, they're speeding. Speeding to hell. But you look at the other side. They're respectable people. Trying to keep as much the speed limits. No open outbursts of immorality. But here's the problem. They're without God. They're trying to enjoy life without God. That's the broad way. And then you have the other way again. That's the narrow way. And literally this word means distressing way. That means it's a difficult road. Let's compare it in our minds with a little road that goes up a mountain and you have to climb. It's a gravel path. You can easily slip. It's challenging. It's steep. It's difficult. So we have two gates, two ways, and two destinations. Two destinations. The broad way, where is it leading, children, do you know? It leads to destruction, Jesus says. Entering that wide gate, that broad road, walking on that broad road, leads to ruin, death, to hell. You wouldn't say so when you just walk on it. It seems to be smooth, it seems to be invited, feels good. Jesus says, no, don't be deceived. It's going the wrong way. It's the way of death. Now let's look at that narrow gate for a moment. Where is it going, children? Do you know? Yes. It's going to life. It's going to true life, pure life, glorious life, eternal life. Yes, then the path might be difficult. It might have these bumps. It might have these impossibilities that we have, these hardships, these tests, these trials, these tribulations. If it's not outwardly, we might have this struggle in our heart to fight the battle against sin. But ultimately, it's worth it because we are following someone. Who is it? It's the way of the Master. The Master Jesus Christ, He went through suffering to glory, through troubles, trials, struggles, through the cross. And that's whom we are following. So if you're here and you are going through something difficult and trying, and you know by the grace of God you are on the road, and don't give up. Be encouraged. The Lord says, as it were, this is the way to you tonight. This is the way. Walk ye in it. He paved it for you, so that His salvation and His glory, so that you would know something of what He went through. He went through suffering to glory. When He is leading you through difficulties and hardships, He will become more precious to your soul. Don't forget, it leads to eternal life. There are two gates, two ways, two destinations. And do you see how many people are walking there on that broad road, children? It seems to be a popular road. But what about that narrow road? Jesus says in our text, there are few there that find it. It's not very popular with people to crucify your old nature, to fight against sin. It's difficult. It's unattractive by nature. Now, when Jesus says here, few, it doesn't mean that heaven will not be filled with many, many, many uncountable number of saints. Absolutely not. The Bible is very clear about that. But when He says there are few that find it, He's saying to you and me, make sure you find it. And He's also saying, look at the world and that broad road, and comparatively there are few. Comparatively, so many are on that broad road. Because literally it could be translated what Jesus says here, unless there are which find it. Satan makes this road look very, very appealing to many. It's loud, it's boisterous. You can just be who you are. At least that's what they say. Don't need to change. Do what you like. And there's some wisdom to it, because you know you can see what's going to happen after death. So it seems to be reasonable to live just for here and now. And so it deceives. It deceives many, leading them to hell and death. So let me ask you an honest question. Which road is appealing most to you? Is it the broad road with all its attractions, temptations, life just as you want it? Your own pleasure, your own benefit? Or, yes, you can be a respectable, nominal Christian. Room enough. Come join the club. But Satan hides where it's leading. Leading to death and destruction. He'll try to keep your mind as entertained as possible. Distracted with whatever he can find. Focused for here and for now. don't consider, don't stand before the picture, don't even allow it in your mind, just block it out. Maybe he's even doing that right now in your mind. Don't listen. Just try to sleep. But you and I are on either one of these roads. If you are not on the narrow road, beloved, then you are automatically on the broad road. But I hope that many of us tonight are seeking, at least seeking, for this narrow gate. And then I would say to you, don't give up. It's worth it. And if there's anyone who feels discouraged on this road, don't give up either. If it's hard, don't give up. Continue. It's really worth it. If Christ is teaching you to stoop lower, to humble yourself, don't resist. Don't look to the hardships too much, but look more to your Savior. What He did. The road He went. And walk in this path. What did He do? For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And He went and set His face as a flint to go to the cross. So I urge you, in the name of Jesus Christ, lay aside every sin that easily besets you in life. Look to your author, the author of faith. Look to the finisher of faith. What He begins, He will finish. Look to Him. But if you're here tonight and you're saying, I'm fearful that I'm still on the broad road, then let's look together for a moment and see if that's true by looking at some who populate this road a little closer. The characters on the broad road. In chapter 5 of this sermon, of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, who are on the narrow road, they are poor of spirit. They mourn. They are meek. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. They seek purity of heart. They seek to be peacemakers, even when they are persecuted for Christ's sake. And He's speaking then to many after that. And He says, in the sermon, He says, you need something. A righteousness. A righteousness that is not just respectable outward religion. That's not enough. A righteousness better than the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, except your righteousness shall exceed the scribes and the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom. So today, if you don't have a righteousness of Jesus Christ, nothing more than just outwardly religious, that's worthless, then you're not on that narrow road. You might do all kinds of good things in your own eyes, but then you will be one day knocking on heaven's door and saying, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this and that and the other thing? Good works in Thy name? And Jesus says, no, I didn't know you. Why didn't you knock earlier? For a better righteousness. So that's why it's so important to know whether you and I are on the broad road or not. It's solemn. Heaven is for eternity, but hell is also for eternity. No end. We better make sure that we know. So do you see that man there? He's walking. He's walking on that broad road. It's Mr. Angry Man. We meet him in chapter 5. He shouts at people. He calls other names. He doesn't ask for forgiveness. He doesn't want to humble himself. He's too proud to do so. He's frustrated when people seem to be in his way. He either explodes or sometimes implodes, keeping this anger inside, becoming bitter. And Jesus says about this man in his sermon, anger, if not killed, is the same as killing someone. Do you see Mr. and Mrs. looking lustfully? They're constantly going for their own desires, sexual desires. Let's look a little bit here, look a little bit there. It's not that bad, they tell themselves. But Jesus says just a mere look, lustful look, is full-fledged adultery. Cut off your eye, cut off your right hand. Otherwise your body will burn. But Mr. and Mrs. lustfully, looking lustfully, find it too attractive. They think by themselves, don't worry, everyone is doing it. Their minds are filled with imaginations, impure. And some of them are in addictions. But Jesus says, come out. Come out tonight. Don't go that way. Enter into the straight gate. Walk the narrow path. Who else is there? Well, Jesus says it in his sermon. There's Mrs. Liar covering up everything. If it benefits me, I just say it in the way I want to say it so that it benefits me. But Jesus says, let your yes be yes, your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. But Mrs. Liar doesn't think truth is so important. Have you seen Mr. Hateful there too? He's close to a Mr. Angry Man. He doesn't love his neighbor because he thinks there's something in hatred that gives power, that makes people afraid. And you need to stand up for yourself. But Jesus says to Mr. Hateful, when he doesn't listen, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And Mr. Hateful also has some respectable religious cousins. It's Mrs. Gossip and Mr. Slander. They're also going on Broad Road. Perhaps you say, well, I've never done those things. Well, then look a little better in your own heart. And let's meet some more right-wing people on the broad road. Do you see that there? Mr. and Mrs. Godliness for show. They're walking there and they want to show everyone what they're doing for the Lord to be praised. Freely fasting, giving alms so that people are impressed. Acknowledged by others. That's what they want. And the Lord Jesus says to them, don't do that. Because that's all the reward you get. And there's Mr. Treasure on Earth. He's also walking on Broad Road. Jesus says to him, seek your treasure above. But no, let's do it here on Earth. Everything that I have here on Earth. Well, you need to be smart with money after all. But Mr. Treasure on Earth doesn't realize that he is trying to do two things, serving God and mammon. And Jesus says to Mr. Treasure on Earth, tonight, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. There's a better treasure. It's Jesus Christ. He's in heaven. Seek him tonight. Who else are there? I see two persons very close to one another. Very close also to Mr. Treasure on Earth. It's Mr. Anxiety and Mrs. Fearfulness. They worry about, I need new clothes. Next day they worry about, I need to pay my bills. What should I eat? What should I drink? And there is a fretfulness in their hearts. They forget the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, seek first the kingdom of God. And then as a heavenly Father, I care for all those needs you have. You may come and lay them all before me. But Mr. and Mrs. Anxiety and Fearfulness, they don't seem to realize. They're worried, fearful. There's one more on the broad road. Jesus shows in his sermon, it's Mr. Judgmental. He never looks on his own sins. Well, when others would look, they can see the beam is clearly hanging from his eye. But he is so busy. He's looking for the faults and the sins of others. He seemed to be always complaining about others, never happy, far from friendly. And where he comes, he brings division. And there are loads more of people on the broad road. Mr. Almost Persuaded to be a Christian is there too. On the one hand, on the right hand, close to where people of God are. And on the other hand of the broad road, there's a whole group screaming and shouting for freedom. What I mean, more freedom for immorality. There are those who live in open sin. There are those who live in hidden sin. There are those who are afraid to come forward with their sin and confess it, especially when they are trapped in their sin. They're too afraid. How sad. Because God wants to help us. With others coming, asking us to come into the light. Especially when we are fighting sins that we cannot overcome in our own strength. Far better to humble ourselves and ask for help than just continue on. But one thing is true about them all. There's something more important than Jesus Christ. There's something more important than God. That's true about each one of them we just met. It's sin and it's selfishness. And if you have recognized yourself tonight in one of these, let me say to you, Jesus is not saying this to push you away. He's actually calling you through it. He's not saying if you're one of them, then you can never be saved. No, the opposite is true. He's not saying, well, there's only few who find this gate, so you will never find it. You will never be saved. You cannot be saved. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that because you're such a heinous sinner on the broad road, you need to give up. That's what Satan says. Give up. You will never be delivered. God is not gracious. No, he says, come, enter ye at the straight gate. Leave your path of destruction. Come to the narrow gate. Knock on the gate. And you will be opened. It might be difficult. We tell you beforehand. But it's worth it. The end is eternal life. Remember the destination. It's as if in this text Jesus Christ is saying the same what Ezekiel once said in Ezekiel 33 verse 11. As I live, saith the Lord. That's swearing an oath. This is very true. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways. That's what I rejoice in. I delight in that. That you turn from your way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? So that's what he's doing. He's calling us to the narrow way. He's calling us to life, eternal life. So let's look at that call after we sing. So Christ says to us, to you, to me, if you are still on the broad road in this text, then exchange it. Enter ye at the straight gate. And Christ, beloved, is the only one who can change your and my heart. And Christ is the only one who can deliver you from the power and the bondage and the guilt of each of these sins. How did he do so? He's the one who in chapter 3 came to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, No, Jesus, you shouldn't be baptized by me. What was his answer? I do this to fulfill all righteousness. He was there to go under the water. We saw something of baptism this morning. He came and went underwater in the place of sinners like you and me, saying this, I came to fulfill all righteousness. And when that happened, heaven opened. And God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm pleased with what everything he's done so far. And think about the baptism that he had to undergo ultimately at the cross, the baptism of death. He took that baptism. He set his face as a flint to go there, to fulfill all righteousness. So that he can give to you and me a righteousness that is better than the scribes and the Pharisees' righteousness. A perfect righteousness. He says it in chapter 4. I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. I'm the better righteousness. Do you need good deeds? Look to me. Do you need forgiveness? Look to me. Do you need power against sin? Look to me. I never committed any of these sins. I'm pure. I'm holy. And it's him who says tonight to each one of us, especially those who have never entered the gate, enter ye. Come. Enter in this straight gate. And you, maybe there's someone who says, how? He answers, ask. It shall be given unto you. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Come to this gate and knock on the door. What does he say? Everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeks finds. And him that knocks shall be opened. So are you knocking? Are you asking? Are you coming to this gate? Are you seeking? Are you seeking the righteousness of Jesus Christ tonight? Knock at the gate before it is too late. Because only when you're on the righteous, on the way and the narrow way, then you are blessed, the Lord Jesus says. He says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. Come to me. Can't you find the door? He says, I'm the door. Come to me. And when you come to the door, what does he give? He gives you that righteousness. His very own righteousness. And then you're blessed. Because that's where you and I start to thirst and hunger after righteousness. In our lives. We want to live a holy life. We get new desires right there. New desires. When you and I meet Mr. or Mrs. Anger, we say, Lord, forgive me. Change me. I want to be more patient. I want to be more loving. I want to be more kind. Send me thy Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, change me. And he will. Slowly, but surely. And you remember those words, those beautiful words of the Lord Jesus Christ who says, blessed are the peacemakers. And listen to the encouragements. For they shall be called the children of God. The children of God. When you forsake anger. And yes, it's softened with falling and failing and weakness and brokenness. When you fight impurity. When you're on this way, you want to fight impurity, I should say. You want to make a covenant with your eyes so that you don't look lustfully to a girl. Because you realize what Jesus says. Blessed, truly happy are those who are pure of heart, for they shall see God. You want to fight the lies. You want to be honest with the Lord. So you lay your heart open before the Lord, and if need be, you go and confess your sins to others, no longer covering up. Because you begin to love the truth. Begin. To love the truth. And you want to love even your enemies. Knowing that Christ saved us while you and I were yet an enemy. When you listen to Jesus Christ hanging there on the cross who says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And you hear those words, and they echo in your heart. And you say, Lord, make me more like Jesus. And when you meet Mr. Godliness for Show, you know, no longer. You say, Lord, kill that pride, kill that hypocrisy. And you listen to Jesus' word who say, blessed, happy, truly happy are those who are meek. And listen to the promise. They shall inherit the earth. And when you see greed or something that lusts after money, you say, Lord, make Jesus more precious to me. Make him my treasure. Because you know that when you love money, it will bring darkness upon your soul. And so you say, Lord, keep me or deliver me from covetousness. And that's the poverty of spirit that Jesus talks about. And he says to those who are poor of spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You will have the heavenly kingdom to look forward to. All the treasures heaven are yours. So you're on the narrow way. And you still live on earth and you struggle your way through, how do I navigate my way through this world with possessions and worry and anxiety, which is often or always, almost always sinful. And you say, Lord, help me to seek the kingdom of heaven first and not to worry. And now you're on the narrow road. You begin to judge your heart harshly. You esteem others better than yourself. You don't want to judge others harshly. You know that love covers a multitude of sin. And when you are called to speak to this one, you love them because of their soul. You want to win them. That's why it's a narrow road, beloved. It asks us to put the knife into our pet sins, in our natural desires. Because God says, without holiness, you and I will not see God. Be holy, for I am holy. If you have not entered this way, Jesus calls you, enter ye in at the straight gate. No, he commands you. It's a command. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Everything goes there. Even when you say in your heart, well, not everything goes there, because, you know, I know something about the Bible. But the question is, do you know Jesus and his righteousness? And that will show itself in the fruit of your life. Even if you are climbing, even if you are halting on that narrow road, you keep the cross in view. And you bring your daily load of sin to the cross. And there you look at the open grave, and there it tumbles right in there, never to be seen, swallowed up in victory. So he calls you, each one of us, enter ye in the straight gate, especially those who have never done so. But know that when you enter, it's not up to you to finish in your own power. We never can. He will empower you every step of the way. What a comfort. Because true holiness comes from the Holy Spirit that comes in us, dwells in us, lives in us, empowers us, so that we walk in the Spirit and learn step by step, slowly, to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Never give up, even when it's hard, even when it's more difficult than expected. Even when it's more distressing at times, it's worth it. You're heading for life. But if you have not entered, I say it again to you tonight. I urge you, in the name of Jesus Christ, ask, seek, knock. And here's the promise. It shall be opened unto you. It comes from the Good Shepherd. It's his voice. Who says, by me, if anyone enters, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. That means life in abundance. True life, spiritual life. And eternal life. It's God's word. Still true. Even true at this moment. So as we go home, there's one thing I want you to remember. You need Christ. Christ is all. Christ is the door. He's the gate. Find Christ. Knock at the door. Christ is the door. is the way. When the way is difficult, you look to Christ for the joy set before you. And Christ is the destination. He's life. He's life eternal. You will be forever with Him. So it's Christ. It's Christ that draws you. It's Christ that keeps you. It's Christ that leads you all the way. It's Christ that empowers you. So the only important question tonight is, do you have Christ? If you have Christ, you have all. You have everything you need. Amen.